Previously on Dubious Intent.
Ah, a bear in his natural habitat. A Studebaker.
Hey, Fuzzy, look up ahead.
What is that?
Maybe we should give him a ride.
I don't know, he's pretty big. Hey there, want a lift?
Oh, no thanks. I'm on my way to New York City to try to break into public television.
Good luck.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through, say, interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Lens Wipes. If your lenses are dirty, you should wipe those bastards. Check us out at lenswipes.com, and don't forget to use the special checkout code DI for a clear discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the lens wipe free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Daniel.
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Now you remembered. I have a bone to pick.
A bone to pick this early in the program, Adam, not more than 10 or 15 seconds post-intro, and you already have a bone to pick. This does not bode well, ladies and gentlemen, for the way that this evening is going to go. But go ahead, Adam. What is your problem? Go.
Well, it's not with you.
Oh, good. Well, then in that case, that's fine. I take back everything I just said.
But I want to, my first topic, I want to pick a bone. That is what I want to do.
Unload. You want to get something off your chest.
I do want to unload. Yes.
then please do not let me interrupt you.
You know,
you're just waiting for me to interrupt you. And see, I listened to last week's show, and I know that I was constantly stepping on you. So I'm trying to be more considerate this evening.
No, I was just thinking it's a good thing I have my emergency lube in here because, you know, when I need to unload, it's
when you need to unload. So for those of you who don't know what Adam is talking about, we don't have a paywall. We don't have a Patreon. We don't ask you to send us anything. We don't ask you to do any of that stuff. No, but we have all kind of fun that happens here on Pride 48 starting at 10 p.m. Every Saturday night. And, you know, we get started at 10. We don't get around to recording the show until a little bit later. Like tonight, it's about 40 minutes. So, yeah, there's like a whole 40-minute little pre-show, whatnot, that, you know, come and play with the people in the chat room or everything. And during that...
And if you go to patreon.com...
No. But during that time, Adam I guess because the bottle of lube was in camera range... And he felt that he needed to then explain to me, because one of those things, like, you know how, like, you're in a work meeting, you know, because we all do these at-home Zoom work meetings and Microsoft Teams work meetings and everything. It's like, and then there's something embarrassing, like, on your desk or that's in camera range. And you're like, did they see that? Did they not see that? But Adam decided to double down on it and go, see, this is my emergency lube that was there on the table. I didn't see it.
I have been taking Zoom meetings from this very chair. And there's men lube.
Well, that explains why the lube is there.
Just to explain, I've always used the same lube for not always. I mean, when I was young, did you ever try like weird things like the white part of an egg or like, you know, weird things?
How do you think I made
like
my meringues?
Like when you're a boy, I remember specifically I was a little boy and I had just learned about the whole, you know, masturbation thing.
Yes.
And I didn't have lube. You couldn't just like go to, and so I'm like, you know,
mommy,
I'm walking.
Mommy, will you buy me some lube?
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm going around the house. I don't know if anyone else did this, but I'm going around the house looking for things that might be slick. And so at some point I thought, oh, you know, not the yolk, but the white part of the egg. What's the white part of the egg called?
It's called the egg white.
The egg white, yeah. So I cracked an egg. I literally did this. I cracked an egg.
Yes.
And then, separated the white and the yolk, saved the yolk for an ice creme brulee later. And then, yeah, and it didn't work very well.
To be honest. I would imagine that it didn't.
I don't recall it.
It didn't. I made the mistake one time of, yes, Adam, to answer your question, yes, we've all tried different substances when we were younger out of desperation. But here's the thing. I once tried shaving cream. And unfortunately for me, it was menthol shaving cream. And it was one of those, you know, you're like, I don't know, couple of minutes into it and you're just like, oh, it's starting to feel warm. It's starting to right. feel warm. Oh, it's tingly and warm. And then, you know, like another 30 seconds, like, oh dear God, this is on fire. It's like someone is literally like has a match on my penis. It is like so uncomfortable. It was the most painful, horrible experience.
Well,
ever. Thank you.
I'm really sorry for your loss there, Daniel. Not to give too much information, because as we know, I never share too much information.
Never.
But I found a few items that I apparently have really sensitive skin on my in that area on my penis.
Yes.
Can I say penis on the show?
I'm pretty sure you can. But here, I just want to make sure that I understand what you're saying. You are making the controversial statement that your penis is sensitive. Okay, I just want to make sure. No one else's is, Adam, just yours. That is a weird problem that only you have.
So there were certain things, such as shampoo.
Yes.
That if I use that, it would literally,
Adam,
make the skin on my penis crack. Like horribly. And for a week afterwards, until I was healed.
Yes.
It would be horribly painful.
Now, I know you're from, you know, Arkansas. And was it like pig lye soap or something? It's like, what kind of...
I don't remember what... Probably when I was growing up, we used...
What kind of harsh fucking soap are you using that makes the skin on your penis
also,
crack?
Also, a bar of soap will do the same thing to me. Like, have you ever tried to just use the lather from a bar of soap?
I've not used a bar of soap outside of a hotel room.
I don't mean like with the soap in your hand, but lather up your hand and then use the lather, you know? Yeah. Anyway, it's horrible.
Don't do it.
It dried out my skin so much that it would crack and then, you know.
Because I remember as a youngin'. When we would have those big foam parties, that was basically soap that was like poured onto the dance floor, you know, the big... foam party things, and there was all kinds of hankity pankity going on in the foam. But after that, like I would, you know, you would get flaky skin. You know what I'm saying? Like your skin would start to like peel because they use really cheap like dish soap there or whatever and everything. But I don't ever remember, you know, cracking and then like having some kind of horrible blinding pain on my penis.
You know, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac.
I was unaware of this, Adam.
And I remember thinking, crying and thinking I had some horrible thing wrong with, but then after a while, and it kept happening when I would use certain things, I was like, oh, I must just have sensitive skin to whatever that thing is. Stop using that.
Could you imagine yourself now? Like if you were that age now, you would be Googling and you would be seeing the most horrifying
oh, I know.
Things. It's like cracked skin on penis. You would be seeing some horrifying, horrifying things on the internet. And just you would, oh my God, I have the dick cancer. I can't believe I have the dick cancer. I'm going to die.
That's horrifying. But back to my bone to pick, because all this
all of this, Adam, because you have a bone to pick. Who's your bone? Yeah. Who are you mad at?
I'm not mad, but I'm slightly perturbed.
Yes.
So I want to call back to, remember, I believe this was on Dubious Intent when I first revealed that, let's say when I go to Wendy's, when I go to the drive thru at Wendy's.
Yes.
And I want to order something.
Yes, that was on this show. Say, yes. You do not like to have items suggested to you. Even correct. If they're an item that you want.
But I think it boils down more of, I don't like to be told what to do. Like, I'm a people pleaser, but I don't like it when people are like, you should do this. And then I feel guilty, like, okay, I should do this, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't like that guilt feeling that I get. So it really pisses me off. I'm like, damn you. Anyway, so I get a tweet from one Scotty L. Battler.
Scotty L. Battler, yes.
The third.
Esquire, yes.
Yeah. And he says, another thing to add to your hashtag to-do list at Geeky Gay TV, update this page on @Pride48. And he gives me a screenshot of the New Orleans event page that still says that, you know, whatever.
Still says whatever. I don't know what it has to say.
You know, it has all the hotel information.
It acts like it's still going to happen.
Yes.
Okay.
And I will admit, I forgot all about that page. We made an announcement.
Yeah.
A state of the station went out to the world. Everyone listened.
Right.
They probably all know.
Right.
But when I saw that tweet, my asshole literally like clenched up. I was like,
I will never change that fucking website. That webpage until the end of fucking time is going to say that the New Orleans event is going to happen in August of 2020.
Yeah, I literally was like, wait, now I can't change it. He told me to go do it and put it on my I'm like, I'm not doing it now. You know, well, of course I've got to go do it. But then it seems like I'm just following his orders. Like, you know, I'm obeying Scotty.
Now I can't find the, what was the, I can't find the.
And.
No, what was our breaking news? What happened to our breaking news sound? Why is that not?
I don't think we have a breaking news sound. I believe that's Big Fatty's breaking news sound.
Wait, no, we had the dun, 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 dun. He stole that from us, but we originated that. That was our original thing.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about,
yeah.
But I don't know.
Dun, dun, I thought dun, 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 dun. See, breaking news from the Pride 48. Pride. See, that was it from the Doobies and Tit newsroom.
I thought, see, this is how good Fatty is. I thought we stole that from him. I didn't think he stole. So you must have started that before I was part of Dubious Intent.
Yes, that was Ann and Alden. And that was from a long time ago. Yeah, it was back in the early days. The early, early days.
So now, dear listeners, that page is staying up there and it's all Scotty's fault. But I want you all to know.
See, here's the thing, Adam. I think you should like double down on this. I think not only should you keep the page up there, but you should literally between now and then just start collecting stock photos of like things in New Orleans and putting different Pride 48 people's faces on it. It's like, and then start posting pictures from the event. And it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like put like Baron Frosty up on stage behind a microphone or whatever. And just like with the thing, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, remember that one movie where they took Clinton talking about life on Mars and they like just digitally replaced his tie and put him around some other people or whatever. It's like, do that shit. Take some existing footage and pictures from existing Pride 48s and just, you know, kind of retheme them a little bit, change the colors a little bit, and then just post them up there and just be like, yeah, we had a great time in Pride 48. It's like, take over the Twitter account that week and just be like, oh my God, we went to the pants place. What, I don't know. What is the name of one of those bars that Fatty goes to? There's like the no pants bar or
the corner pocket.
I went to the corner pocket. I'm having a great time with Fatty at the corner pocket. I think you should, because he doesn't listen to this show. Because I noticed that Scotty is one of those people, he's like a Trump, right? He's like, when he hears something and he wants to reply to it, he just replies. He just like, he has no filter, he just replies and everything. So I noticed there was a tweet earlier this week about something from the Survivor's Ready podcast that he, you know, tweeted about when he was listening to that. So I don't think he actually listens to Dewey's Intent. So it's like, you will never hear this, Adam.
I want to point it out. I'm not mad at Scotty, but it just triggered me. It triggered me. That's all. But you know, I am going to double down. In fact, I'm just going to go to New Orleans on those dates. I'm going to go to New Orleans. I'm going to stay in the hotel.
Where are you?
I'm going to broadcast.
Hotel won't be open, but you'll be there. Room. You will be there doing it. It'll be great and whatnot.
Maybe I'll broadcast from my hotel room. Surely they still rent out rooms.
I'm looking here at the Trello.
I haven't put anything
on the
Trello.
Okay, you put nothing on the Trello. So
no, but that wasn't my first thing.
Okay, great.
You told me last week, you're like, Adam, don't worry about the Trello.
I was really trying.
Were like, I need it as a place because I'm old and I forget
things.
Yeah,
because I feel like I go, you know, it's Saturday afternoon and I'm just like, oh, I need to pull audio to do something tonight for the show. I need to, and then I'll look at the Trello and I was mistakenly believed that you had a bunch of stuff to talk about. So I was just like, oh, well then I don't have to come up with stuff because Adam's got stuff to talk about tonight. And so,
well, I mean, I do have a couple of things.
Okay,
that was one of them.
Well, then I'm glad that was one of them. And it's whatnot. There was something that was brought up in pre-show, Adam, and had to do with your brain problems, your memory. You're starting to forget things. You're starting to lose your memory. Those kind of things.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I am, but, you know, Mark keeps telling me I am, right. And now I'm starting to believe.
And you clearly can't remember anything that we did on last week's show, so it's like, forget about that. So here's the thing, Adam. There's this series of books that I read, I listened to because they were on audiobook. But I was listening to a series called the Bobiverse. It's a series of books called the Bobiverse. It starts with a book called We Are Legion, We Are Bob. It's very well written. It's a science fiction book in the short, you know, not too distant future where a geeky tech worker guy, he owns a tech company. He's at a convention somewhere and he gets hit by a car and he's dead. And then the next thing is him being brought back to life, but he can't see or whatever. And it's clear that they are like, have uploaded his consciousness into a computer system far in the future. And then, so they're like using brains as AI, right? So he's like being, you know, and he's turned into a spaceship to go out and do some exploration and everything. And the book basically follows because here is this former person that was alive and, you know, and is aware of the fact that he is an AI and is aware of the fact, but he's also aware of the fact that he used to be a person. And it's a very interesting book and is a very good book. And
did you, sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Did you watch Picard?
Yes, I did.
I mean, if anyone hasn't watched it yet and you don't want a spoiler, you know what? I'm not going to say it. reminds me a lot.
But it's not. This is completely different. This is completely different because this guy actually died and then centuries passed and then he suddenly is brought back to life because he's now a piece of property that's owned by this company that's making him into, you know, a computer. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's more like RoboCop than it is. Anyway, but it's a play on it. Anyway, here's the point, Adam. Here's the point.
I want that, you know?
Yeah.
But I want it to be all like 20-year-old hot twink bodies.
Well, he had no body. He was in a computer.
Oh, no body.
Later in the book, he like developed, you know, Android technology and whatnot where he could like download himself into a person, right? And he would go and scout out these other worlds and whatnot. And so he would like, you know, and make a clone of like their life form kind of a thing and put his consciousness. Anyway, it's a really good series of books. It's a trilogy. Go and read it. But my point was, I also would like that. I would love to have my consciousness uploaded to a computer. And then that gets into that whole debate, Adam. It's like, if you were to just take the contents of my brain and put them into a computer, that even if it achieved sentience and it was me, I wouldn't know it. Because I'm still here in this body, right? He's like, I'm in this body. I said, you know, so it's like even taking an exact copy of my brain or whatever doesn't make me aware of that. And it's like, so then you get into this whole thing. It's like, well, then I couldn't ever really just upload my consciousness to a computer because that consciousness would not be me. That consciousness would be something that thinks it was me, but I myself am dead. And so,
yeah, I've wondered that too, because if somebody were to like hook jumper cables up to my brain.
That would be ridiculous.
And they hook some cables of some sort, whatever. I mean, it would have to be some, you know, we're at cat, what are we at now? Cat 6, cat 7, sure, cat sure, 9. Sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it probably is going to be like cat 20 before they can, you know, actually.
It's going to be fiber optics up. Go ahead. Yes.
Right. So, and they were to like dump every knowledge, every memory off of my brain, just like you're saying. I've had that same thought myself. Yeah, sure, they've got a copy of all of that knowledge and all of that whatever.
Yes.
But I'm still here in this brain. Like how do they move me?
Right.
Like,
right, exactly.
You know, no, over there.
So taking that thought experiment.
But then, Daniel.
Yes.
I know you're an atheist.
Yes.
But then, you know, that kind of brings up, well, what am I? Like, what is the meanness?
And that's exactly where I'm going with this. Here's the thing, Adam. No,
soul.
It's not even so much of soul. Let's call it a string of consciousness. But the thing that you have to remember, Adam, is that your brain cells die every 7 years. It's like, so about once every 7 years, all of the cells in your brain are completely replaced.
So that's what happened. The ones that remembered how to change the channel in the Hulu app, exactly. They're gone. Right,
exactly. So here's the thing, Adam. Here's the thing is that you're constantly, you know, like new cells are popping up in your brain and they're like taking over the jobs of older cells as they die and whatnot. And you're constantly uploading your consciousness to these new cells. So in order to maintain that string of consciousness, though, so that you got to remember, it's like, every day you're just losing a few cells, like a few million cells, and they're getting replaced, right? And it's like, it's a slow thing that it's like the majority of your brain is still the same brain that was there yesterday, but there's a tiny little piece of it that's getting replaced every single day. So in order to really have my consciousness uploaded to a computer and for me to maintain my stream of consciousness, I need to do that, Adam. I need to just slowly start replacing my brain with, solid state stuff. You know what I'm saying? Just slowly replacing it bit by bit by bit so that I maintain the stream of consciousness.
Interesting. Yeah, that might work.
Yeah, let's get on to that.
Why don't you start working on that? Yeah,
yeah. Let's jump right on that. At the Dubious Intent Labs, we'll fire them up. And
I tell you what, I've got a whiteboard. I'll set it up. We'll do some brainstorming.
We'll do a conference call. It'll be great. Yeah. We'll do that thing. But yeah, Adam, it's like that and I think, like, let's assume just for a minute. Now, you got to remember that I come from a place where my mom has Alzheimer's disease. It's very advanced Alzheimer's disease. It is a horrible disease that I would never wish on anyone ever. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh my God, she's there. She's physically fine and she's great, but she literally cannot remember a piece of information for more than like 20 or 30 seconds, right? It's like, you just get into these constant loops of conversations because she cannot remember what just happened. And so I will be staying with her tomorrow on Mother's Day. So it's like, I've got things to distract her, all set up and whatnot and ready to go. But it's like, what if we got to that point where we could start slowly replacing our brain cells with like something that was more solid state or whatever. And it's just like, then that would actually might give some hope to these people, that have the Alzheimer's one. It's a horrible disease. God, it's a horrible disease. Cannot possibly, it's just sick. It's sick.
It is a horrible disease. Both of my stepfather's parents both died. I don't know if you die of that, but they died, and both of them had some form of dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And all right. This is the most depressing episode of Dubious.
So if we'd have had a well, we don't brand ourselves as a comedy, do we?
No, we are a hardcore news podcast, Adam.
That's right.
That is our bread and butter. We are a hardcore news podcast. You know, you can count on us at Dubious Intent. That I believe that is our slogan. So that's my thought there, Adam, is that I don't want to be uploaded quickly. I want to be uploaded very slowly and deliberately. Okay. So that I don't lose my stream of consciousness, all of which leads me to this new show on Amazon Prime called Uploaded. Have you heard about this show, Adam? This new Amazon Prime show called Uploaded just came out last week, and before the show last week, I guess. I watched it on Saturday. I binged watched the thing all in one day. So it's like 10 episodes. It's really good. It has to do with, this is in the future where they actually have the technology to upload your consciousness and whatnot. And so there's private corporations that create private heavens so that you can get uploaded to, you know, a heaven. And then it's everything is pay. You know, it's like you have... everything is an upcharge, you know, whatnot. So it's like a $600 billion a year industry, this afterlife heaven place.
You know, another thing they could do or that we could do in this, you know, just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah. Now, once we developed the ability to upload consciousness to brains without losing stream of consciousness. Yes. Once we've done that, Adam, what else could we do?
No. And maybe this is wrong thinking of me, but does your brain really age like the same way? Like if you could take your brain and just move it other places.
Yes.
I mean, I know it does age, but if we could.
Well, the cells, the new cells are generated.
The cells,
inside your brain,
right.
The problem is that cells are, new cells are created by old cells splitting. Remember in science class where you have the, you know, dividing the cells and everything. There's little things on a cell. There's like little tendrils on a cell, and they're called, telomeres. They're called telomeres. And every time that your cell divides and makes a new cell, those telomeres get a little bit shorter. And to the best of our knowledge, because we still are completely baffled by aging and Alzheimer's and all that kind of stuff, right? It's like we have some good guesses, but nobody, you know, there's not a 100% kind of a thing out there. But near as we can tell, it's the telomeres as they get shorter that actually has a built-in, you know, death date on our cells, right? It's like after the telomeres get below a certain size, those cells can no longer divide. And so you could keep your, it is true to say that everything below your brain exists to keep your brain alive, right? There's no reason to have a heart pumping blood and everything through your system other than to keep blood going to your brain, right? There's no reason to have legs and arms in order to get away and eat things and, you know, feed your brain. There's like, so your brain is, you know, you and everything below it, you know, is just there to keep your mind, you know, just keep it alive. However, you would have to solve that whole telomere problem. You'd have to solve the whole, like,
because
otherwise your cells just cannot infinitely keep dividing. Eventually they give out of the whole dividing thing, which is like this cruel.
I was just going to say, I mean, it would, you know, although interestingly, maybe we could start predicting people's death date based on the length of their telomeres.
Yeah.
So we could just say,
again, I don't know that we have a lot of research in that. Anyway, so here's, like, the thing. Here's the thing, Adam, you know what?
I have some really long telomeres.
That's what it is. We are streaming live, as I mentioned earlier, on pride48.com. And of course we don't do that alone. There's a whole chat room here full of people.
There are.
That like it to is. Come and play with us every week. And I just bring that up because I believe Baron Frosty in the chat room just said, what the
is
fuck?
Is unsubscribing.
What the fuck is Daniel talking about?
He's unsubscribing from a live show, Daniel.
Unsubscribing from a live show. It's amazing. Adam, who is joining us in the chat room this evening as we record the big show?
This is the part that's interesting. I may miss someone because of this whole Discord thing, mm-hmm. but I'll just read the whole list
okay,
of Discord.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
We have Archer. We have Baron Frosty. We have Kathy Marshall. We have Lamont Cranston. We have Mr. Mike. We have Sam, who's not really there. And we have Chris from Tennessee, from New Jersey, from Tennessee.
We have Big Fatty, who just popped back
Big
in.
Big Fatty, yeah, who just popped back in. Yeah. So welcome on all. But anyway, I was going to say, maybe another thing that they could do is, if they can't give us bodies, then they just start, we live in like a one of those virtual reality worlds where, you know, they're just feeding us, you know, simulations.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Matrix. Yeah, like and the just Matrix. Make it really good. Really good right. simulation. You could have anybody you want. Just, you know.
But
say,
that was
okay,
the problem. That was the problem with the Matrix, is the early versions of it were so perfect that people wouldn't believe it. And so then they went crazy. That was a line from it, from the Wachowskis.
Cruises.
You know, Adam, I'm embarrassed to admit this. I shouldn't admit this. Oh, what the fuck? I'm going to admit this anyway. When we bought the house here, I had converted a bunch of money from my 401k for the down payment of the house, whatnot. Anyway, the point is, I had, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 still sitting in an account on my, you know, it's just kind of sitting in a money account on my, from my 401k Fidelity, you know, Fidelity account there. And I was just like, oh, you know what? And I kept that extra money because by taking money from your 401k for the down payment on your house, you pay a small penalty. It's not a 10% penalty, but it's a smaller penalty. But it's like, so I kept some extra money back because I knew I would need to pay a penalty on this year's taxes for it. So I was sitting there with those, that, you know, I want to say it was a couple of $1,000. And I was just like, you know what? I should just throw that in something because, you know, I don't have to do taxes until April. So this is like, you know, late February.
So you invested in a cruise line.
I did, Adam. I bought 100 shares of Royal Caribbean Cruise. I bought 100 shares of Royal Caribbean. And then literally like 2 weeks later, it like shed 70% of its value, whatnot. It's like, I think that current stock acquisition right now is down about $1,700 for the Royal Caribbean stock that's just sitting there, just, you know, flinking his nose at me and whatnot. Now, fortunately, I don't need to sell it. So until, you know, you haven't lost the money till you sell the stock. So it's like,
well,
fortunately, I mean, I can wait. I can wait a year or two or five or what is, I don't need that money. So I can wait for it to come back. It's not fun, right? But I can wait. But still, it's like, so go ahead, Adam, talk to me about cruise because, you know, as someone who lost a lot of money on cruise stock, I think I am uniquely qualified to talk about cruise.
I'm glad. So what I was going to say is, so I was browsing. So my phone does this thing that, you know, most phones probably do nowadays. They've changed the name so many times, but Google Now, you could have a screen that like gave you like news they thought you were interested in.
Yes,
and
yes.
There's a stock ticker and all this other stuff. Anyway, so I go to that and I guess, you know, Google knows that I'm interested in cruises.
Yes.
And so I got this article that came up and I'm not going to read the article or anything, but basically what caught my eye was there was a picture of the ocean.
Yes.
And there were like 50 or more big, massive cruise ships all parked next to each other.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, because where else are they going to be?
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And what the article said was, is they have literally,
Adam,
nowhere to go.
Correct.
Because none of these countries will let them park.
Well, they can.
Dock,
they can park.
You want to call
but
it.
You got to remember that most cruise lines don't actually own their dock. So they would have to pay docking fees to be at it. So it's cheaper for them to just anchor them out in international waters, because that way they don't have to pay a daily fee to be docked at a port.
So they're just like all hanging out, you know, just, and they have crew. They have crew members.
Right. Yeah.
Still on them. And they're all just hanging out in the middle of the, first of all, would that not be, and I know, I don't want to make light of the situation, and I'm sure it sucks, but I feel like at least for the first few days, that would be like the coolest thing. Like to just be out there, like floating in the middle of the ocean, just hanging out with a bunch of other, you know, cruise liners and like, you know, waving at each other.
Yeah.
Maybe Disney's out there, so maybe they're doing a little fireworks show every other night or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because the crew, that's what the crew does. They still do all the entertainment stuff. They put out the buffets every day for a thousand. Right. Yeah, they got to keep that stuff up. Right? She can't just,
And probably they have those little, my favorite are like the trivia contests. So they probably have, you know, the pub inside of each pub.
I'm sure they're still paying the bartender to be there and the cruise director guy to do the trivia stuff. Yeah, it makes perfect sense, Adam. Let me ask you this. If you were to get on that ship, you're like, huh, I'm just going to go rent a boat. I'm going to go drive out into international waters and find this cluster of cruise ships. I'm just going to like pull up to them, get on the boat and everything. What would you say when you got on the boat? Like what would be your, you know, snazzy little TV line when you got on the boat?
I'd say, ahoy, mateys.
I thought it started with a scream.
I don't know what we're doing here.
Was that CSI? What was CSI Miami? Didn't it start with that? Meow.
I didn't watch CSI Miami.
There it is. There it is. All right. Yeah. So say it again. So Adam, what would be your snazzy line when you first got on the cruise ship after, you know, the abandoned cruise ship?
Ahoy, mateys. I know.
Yeah.
So I know I know that it's a very bad situation. But this leads me to my point. Not a point, more of a question.
Yes.
I am just kind of saying, look, I love the ocean and I loved when I cruised. And I understand that people who work on ships are not having like the time of their life or whatever. Although I do really feel like if that paid more, like I would go and be like a bellhop on a cruise, because
a lot of cruise employees really enjoy their jobs.
You travel around. Yeah. I mean, I could play trumpet on a cruise, but my point is, I'm worried that the cruise industry is just going to go away basically. And you know, we're not because they're all like, that's all you hear when you read all these articles about how, oh, there may not be a cruise industry anymore after all of this. They're all going to go under, or they're not going to be able to continue because there are going to be so many restrictions and they're not going to be able to operate with all these, you know, health screenings and all the stuff that you have to do. So, and I just had my first two cruises and I was going to be a lifetime cruiser. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't afford. I mean, all that's going to be left. You know what's going to happen?
No, I don't, Adam. I really don't.
What always happens in this world is only those rich people who can afford to like hire an entire yacht for themselves or whatever.
Right.
They're going to get to continue cruising. They're going to have their own staff, just like on Below Deck. You know, on Below Deck yacht or whatever they've got. They've got some new
Below Deck. I thought you said Below Deck, and I was just like, I think I saw that on Pornhub the other day. It was just like,
Below Deck.
Below Deck.
Below Deck.
Yes, okay, got it.
It's just going to be like that. I mean, that's how it always ends up. All of us downtrodden people who can't afford that, we need a mass-produced cruise.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the
package.
Here's the thing. Yes. The cruise industry is not going to bounce back immediately, and it's not going to be something that's going to like pop back immediately. Now, depending on when a vaccine for this stupid thing comes out, depending on whenever that is, whenever it becomes something that is like, oh, okay, well, if I get this vaccine, then I'm good, and I don't need to worry about it. Once we've reached herd immunity or wherever you want to go to, right? And I don't want to go into the whole science and everything because it's boring. But once we get to that point, then the cruise lines will come back. So here's the thing that you have to remember is that let's say, who is it that they're saying is like gonna go out of business. NCL, I think NCL.
I think NCL
is like overextended on a whole bunch of stuff, and they're just
Norwegian.
Like,
is that Norwegian?
Yeah. And they're just like, oh my god, Norwegian's gonna go. It's like, so let's assume that tomorrow that NCL goes bankrupt, right? What are they going to do? They're going to sell their ships because they have physical assets. Someone else is going to buy those NCL ships, and then they're going to start a cruise line that's, you know, some other company that doesn't have $16 billion in debt or whatever. It's like, these are actual ships. It's not like they're just going to blow up the ships or whatever. It's just like they are going to, it's like the airline industry, whatever. Someone will use those planes at some point in the future. Will Delta go out of business? I don't know, but those planes will still be in the air by somebody somewhere.
It's all going to be covered wagons. we're going back to the bad old days.
I mean, let's assume that Disney goes bankrupt. Walt Disney goes bankrupt. The Walt Disney Company goes bankrupt. Well, I mean, they own 43 square miles of land here in Florida. Someone will buy it. Someone will take it and do something. It's like, it's not like, you know, that it wasn't a hurricane that hit the state and destroyed all that property. I mean, that there's infrastructure there. There's things that are there. They have physical assets. They have things that are just like, so it's going to be, and here's the thing that gets dicey, right? Is because this is probably going to be with us for a year or two. Right. This is not something that's going to just go away next month and it's like, oh, remember that 3 month period where we all like, you know, had to stay in our house and everything. No, this is one of those things that's going to change the way that we live and work for the next year or two. Right. Until there is a vaccine that is readily, because it's not just coming up with a vaccine, Adam. It's coming up with 300 million doses of that vaccine. It's coming up with, you know, enough vaccine for, you know, everyone to have had it.
Then you have those anti-vaxxer people.
Well, let them die. You got to deal with them. That's fine. I can let them die. But here's the thing is that, you know, until that point in time, we're going to be riding this roller coaster, right? We're going to ease restrictions. We're going to tighten restrictions. We're going to ease restrictions. We're going to tighten restrictions. It's like, it's not like we have to like wonder what's going to happen because there are other countries that have had this ahead of us and that there's things that are going to, you know, that we can look at and see. It's like, oh, well, we don't have to wonder whether keeping people, in sheltered in place or whatever is going to help because we can see that it did. Because those countries that did that are now, you know, have like New Zealand has had zero new cases last week. Like was the first time since the pandemic had started that they had zero new cases of coronavirus like one day last week. So it's like New Zealand is, you know, doing the right thing. It's like we have 1/3 of the cases of coronavirus. We are 5% of the world's population and we have 1/3 of the coronavirus, you know, cases here. It's like we're clearly not doing something right. We clearly didn't do this early enough. We didn't do it soon enough. And, you know, the thing that gets me, and this is as political as I'm going to get, the thing that gets me is when people go like, oh, we would just have to trust people. We just have to trust people to do the right thing. And my only response to that to you, Adam, is shopping carts.
Oh, you mean people don't wipe them down?
No, shopping carts. Forget about the virus for a second. Shopping carts. Adam, do you, when you leave the grocery store, put your shopping cart in the little cart corral or do you leave it in
yes,
the parking
lot? Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, we
yes,
all know.
Yes, I do,
we
Daniel.
We all know that that is the right thing to do. We all know that putting the cart into the cart, other than, you know, you're an EMT that got paged and you have to run away for a life or death emergency, there's very few excuses for not putting your shopping cart in the stupid corral, right? But we all know that the parking lot is littered with fucking shopping carts.
Yeah.
Like people, so, you know, so even though we all know as a society and we all believe that it's like, oh, well, if people know the right thing to do, then they're going to do it. Bullshit. People know the right thing to do about shopping carts, which takes almost no effort whatsoever. And yet there are still douchebags out there that just leave their shopping carts laying around. So what makes you think that those people are going to wear masks in public, are going to respect social distancing, are going to just like, without some kind of like, hey, you know, the state says that you can't be here right now. You shouldn't be able to do this. It's like we can't trust people because people have proven again and again and again that they are, you know, incapable of doing that without being told what to do. It's like, there you go. I'll get off my soapbox right now. But it's just like, we're going to be riding this roller coaster for a while. So just buckle up, boys and girls.
I know. And I want to go on a cruise sometime again. I don't want to make light of people. Look,
here's the thing. Testing gets better, if testing is more widely available and we don't have to, you know, we get more rapid response testing. The problem right now with a really good test is that it takes 48 hours for you to get the result back. So it's like, but if you can get down to the tests that are going to give you results within 5 or 10 minutes, whatever, then yeah, cruises are back online, right? Because then all they do is they test every single person as they get on the ship, right? It's just like, there you go. You got your testing. It's like, that's why testing is so fucking important. It's like, but here's the thing, Adam. if you really want to go on a cruise line, you're going to have some amazing fucking deals coming up on cruises. It's like, it's like, because they're going to be slicing prices to try to get people to come back onto their cruise ships.
They're going to have amazing deals.
They are. They're going to have amazing deals.
Offer like daily massages.
They're going to be offering free alcohol. They're going to be offering like, you know, here and $200 to gamble with. I mean, like, they're going to be giving you everything.
We'll pay you.
It's like, we will pay you money to get on our boat and, excuse me, on our ship and go in and have a...
Oh, Auntie Vera does not like it when you call them.
A boat. Yeah.
It's just, a boat. But, you know, because I've done
that. You know what? Vera's not here. Vera's not here. She's not... listening to this show, so.
I do have one other thing.
What?
See, I had a lot. Did you have anything else?
You know, I did. I wanted to talk.
It's your turn.
I wanted to talk to you about reality, the way that reality shows are put together, because there's two bookends here. And I'm gonna save this till next week, but I'm just going to tease it this way and say that there are two reality shows that I watch religiously.
Yeah.
I watch Survivor and I watch RuPaul's Drag Race. One of them has the most amazingly... well done editing group, you know, that
tune in tomorrow that on Pride 48 if you want to know which is Daniel's favorite.
But it's like one of them has editors that can, like, you know, tell these stories and just do an amazing job of keeping the show together. The other one has the shittiest, laziest fucking editors in the world, and it's one of those things where it's like the show is good in spite of the editing, not, you know, because of the editing. And it's one of those, and I just kind of wanted to talk to you just about reality show construction, but we'll save that for next week. Go ahead, Adam. What's your other topic?
Well, it's not that important, but it is timely because I've been talking about it a lot. I wanted to get your opinion on something.
Okay, great. Is this thing that you've talked about on six other podcasts?
And, yes, but okay, I want your opinion is the most important.
My opinion is the most important opinion.
That's right.
Got it.
So I made a burger this week, all right? I made a burger, and I think this was a fantastic burger.
Okay.
But there's been a little bit of, not backlash, I would say, but just, you know, Sam in the Hinterlands called it, like, pot smoker food.
You have my attention, yes?
Yeah. So anyway, no, Baron, forget about dieting. I'm going to be 300 pounds. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Don't even, anytime I say the word diet, just forget. Baron Frosty in the chat room mentioned my diet.
What you people have to understand is that now that there's no Pride 48 get together in August.
I'll be literally, I'm going to gain 30 more pounds.
Adam has zero reason to lose weight.
So, this is, now Fatty is in the chat room as well, and he's saying it's vile. But
forget about it. You said that my opinion was the most important. So ignore it. Just forget about it.
He says it's vile because it has mayonnaise. Okay. So this is what I did. So normally if I make a burger, because we don't keep a lot of beef around the house because turkey is less fat and supposedly you're not supposed to eat a lot of beef and whatever. So I always have ground turkey. So I was going to make, you know, ground turkey burgers, which is what I do generally.
Yes.
And I understand, but I mean, there are better ways to do it. But so anyway, I was like, you know what? Screw the diet. I'm going to make this taste good.
Okay.
And so I've been experimenting with different, you know, with different combinations on burgers.
Mm-hmm. Are you grinding your own meat?
No. Just, you know, I buy the ground beef or the ground turkey. So
These are still turkey burgers?
Yeah.
Oh, then my answer is going to be a shit. But go ahead.
Well, okay. So first of all, to moisten the turkey a little bit, I add an egg in there. So I put an egg in to, you know, kind of like you're making a meatloaf, but I add
just the yolk, or do you?
I add an egg.
Do you save the egg whites for any other reasons?
Yes.
Just curious.
Yeah. Well, no.
Okay. Great.
Not anymore. Okay. I mean, I buy. Okay. So forget about the turkey. You could use whatever meat that you want.
Okay. Doesn't matter what the meat is. It totally matters what the meat is. Yes.
I mean, this is not the point of the story.
It is not the part of the story, Adam, that a perfect picture should be 80% chuck and 20% round. That is not the part of the story that matters.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm saying these flavor combinations, not that this is the perfect burger in the world or whatever. So what I did, you and I were at a restaurant where I had a burger with peanut butter on it.
Yes, Adam, we were. I believe that was the NBC... grill in Universal Studios City Walk in Florida.
Might have been. Yes. But anyway, we have supped together and I've had a burger with peanut butter on it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try peanut butter. But then I thought, you know,
yes,
What about peanut butter and jelly?
Peanut butter and jelly on a burger.
Because you need some sweet.
Yeah.
You know, you need some sweet. So what I did, so just to cut to the chase here, I also wanted bacon on it. So I fried some bacon in a pan. I left the bacon grease in the pan, and then I fried my burgers in the bacon grease.
Yes, as you should.
So I cooked my burgers
in
the bacon
grease. Absolutely, always, yes.
And then I put my cheese on top of them like you do and, you know, let it melt and whatever. And then what I did is I took a little bit of strawberry preserves and I mixed them with just a little bit of mayonnaise.
Yes.
So I just, you know, made a little sweet sauce with strawberry preserves and mayonnaise.
Now, if you had this in a restaurant, they would call it, you know, like a strawberry aioli.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, make it sound more gourmet, strawberry aioli. So then I toasted my buns and on one side, I put peanut butter, just plain old peanut butter, not mixed with anything, just a little bit of peanut
crunchy
butter.
Crunchy or smooth?
Just smooth.
Okay, smooth peanut butter.
And then I put my burger on top of that with the cheese on it. And I put my bacon on top of that. It was nice and crispy.
Yes.
And then on the other bun, I put my strawberry aioli.
Yes.
And that's it.
That's it.
And it was so good. I mean, it was really tasty.
Now, Adam, I don't mind this. That sounds like it would be good, but can I offer a suggestion?
Absolutely.
Okay, so like instead of sweetening the mayonnaise, which is in essence what you were doing.
Yeah.
Have you considered sweetening the bacon? Because if you were to, because I always cook my bacon in the oven, right? I cook my bacon on a tray in the oven because I do the what do you call this thing? A rasher? I do the rasher at a time, you know, so I just do the whole.
Sure,
the whole,
I think
the
so.
Whole pound of bacon at a time and whatnot. And when we're not on the keto diet, back before on the keto diet, what I would do is I would sprinkle brown sugar over the bacon, just lightly sprinkle brown sugar over the bacon before I baked it. And then I would have like this sweet and salty bacon. So it would be a sweet bacon that way you wouldn't have to do the, so you'd put the mayonnaise and then the burger and then the sweet bacon and then the peanut butter. And it would kind of give you, it wouldn't give you the strawberry, it wouldn't give you the fruit, but it would give you the sweet in it. And, but I would eat the burger that you mentioned. That sounds all right.
All right. Well, some people have said revolting. Some people have said they would try it. Mm-hmm. Baron Frosty in the chat room here said that he grew up white trash or something. Oh, he grew up in a trailer park and sincerely wants to try it.
Yeah.
So, and it could be any kind of, and I agree that your idea sounds good as well, but I wanted to really lock in on that PB&J.
Let me ask you this. When you make tomato sauce for like spaghetti or for like, you know, meatballs or something like that, do you add sugar to your tomato sauce?
I do now.
Yeah, see, I do too. It's just like that big,
because, and this is, it's Mark's fault. It is all Mark's fault because they eat the Filipino spaghetti, which I love, is so sweet. I mean, it's almost like a dessert. It's almost like a dessert spaghetti. I mean, I think they put brown sugar in it or something. They use banana ketchup. Mm-hmm. Which is a thing. You have to look it up. It's ketchup made out of bananas. It blows your mind.
Sounds amazing.
Anyway, it's good. It's really good. I like it. And he thinks, and I do use a jarred sauce most of the time because ain't got time for that. In the middle of the week, I want some spaghetti. Like, I'm not going to like crush some tomatoes and put some pepper flakes and do all that. I'm just going to open a jar. But he finds most of the jarred sauces to be too acidic.
Yes.
And so I will just take plain old white sugar and put some sugar in there and it sweetens it right up.
Sweetens it up. Yeah.
I used to think sugar was only for dessert. And then it blew my mind when I started adding it to savory things.
Sugar.
I'm like, oh my God.
It's not just for breakfast anymore.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
The Dubious and 10 birthday segment is the segment of the show where Adam We'll play some musical cues about some celebrity's birthday, and I, using only my head brain and mouth words, will figure out exactly whose birthday it is without cheating and looking at the chat room for help. So, Adam, who's our first birthday this week?
Did you go and listen to some previous episodes since the last week?
No.
Because you're remembering all these things that you used to do.
I am remembering all these things. It's coming back to me. It's like riding a bike, Adam. It's like, I'm remembering.
You were so inebriated last week, apparently. This is what I'm hearing. I didn't even know you were drinking last week. Like, this is, I mean, I had no idea.
I am actually drinking tonight. I'm just not drinking alcohol tonight. I'm actually drinking strawberry watermelon Crystal Light.
Oh, great. All right.
Which, I made a cheesecake and I used some strawberry watermelon Crystal Light in it and it was delicious.
Oh, yeah. You should try some bacon and
I should put some strawberry aioli on it next time. I think that'll be great.
All right, here we go. Here is the first one.
Everybody loves the things you do. From the way you talk.
I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, you're not hearing that. Well, let me.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Were they hearing it on the stream?
I think so. Stream.
Oh, well, yeah. Wait, Adam, I think even without hearing it, I'm going to say it's Adele.
Oh, how dare they? You can't look at the... Can you hear this? Tell me if you can hear this.
Now I can, yes. I hear that. There's someone talking.
Oh, wait a minute.
From the way you talk.
Yes, I hear that now.
To the way you move.
Hey, Adam, is it Adele?
It is Adele. Damn it. Hey, you heard it last week. I don't know what I changed since last week. I'm using the same audio cable. Okay. I mean, I know what was changed, but I don't remember changing it. Yeah. Adele is 32 years old, and apparently Adele has lost a lot of weight. She is not eating peanut butter and jelly burgers.
She apparently is not eating peanut butter and strawberry aioli burgers.
Yeah. All right. Here is our next one then.
With the wind in my face, life is good.
This week from Beverly Hills 90210, Brian Austin Green.
Okay. So am I going for the announcer there? Because that was the Hollywood Squares theme, but was that...
You're not going for the announcer.
Okay. Is it... So is there a second clue? Because, I mean, there could be tons of people on the Hollywood Square.
Yeah.
It could be,
there is another clue.
This is Dancing with the Stars.
It is.
Is it? Did what's his name? Did Tom Bergeron actually host the Hollywood Squares? Is it Tom Bergeron, Adam?
It is Tom Bergeron.
Yay! Excellent.
Tom Bergeron is 65 years old.
65 years young. That is some fraction of a Morgan Freeman.
And Fatty got it right away, of course.
Oh, look at that.
All right. Well, of course. Here is our next one. Oh, by the way, we have five.
I am not looking at the chat room.
We have five.
So, okay.
We take the floor.
Is this Ricky Martin?
Nothing is forbidden anymore. Don't let the world in our sight. Don't let a moment go.
All right.
Go by.
So, this is going to make me a horrible person because I feel like I only know one Spanish singer. Is that Ricky Martin?
It is not. I have Ricky another. Martin? I have one more. I don't know if it'll help you.
Okay. All right.
But
try this.
I have one more.
I'm ready.
I can be your hero, baby. I can kiss away the pain.
Okay.
This is one of those
recent people that I probably don't know.
I don't think he's all that recent. I mean, you're in the right vein, I'll say.
I'm in the right genre with Ricky Martin.
Like, yeah. I mean, you're you know, kind of circling around
soulful. I'm rimming him. Yeah, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm rimming Ricky Martin. It's like, I don't know, Adam. Who is it?
It is Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah. Enrique Iglesias. All right. Well,
I had to work really hard to roll my.
I would not have
R
gotten
there.
That. Yeah.
All right. Oh, by the way, he's 45 years old.
45 years young.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next one.
Did he cut off? Was that
yeah,
that was
I cut
the
it
end
off.
Of it? Did,
I mean,
it sounded like the end of the Murphy Brown theme.
All right. Good.
Was
good,
it?
Yeah.
Was that the theme to Murphy
it
Brown?
It was. I have one more. I'm going to play it because
okay,
I want to play
one
it.
More. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Here we go.
This is the theme to Boston Legal. Was that the name of
yep.
it? Yeah, Boston Legal, and it was Denny Crane.
So
the intersection, the Venn diagram of Murphy Brown and Denny Crane uh-huh. is, of course, Candace Bergen. Candace Bergen was on both Boston Legal and on Murphy Brown.
It is, yes. And
is
Archer in the chat room got it correct. Good job. Candace is 74. You know, they tried to bring, you know, when that whole Will and Grace
yes.
revival, and you and I were not on the air at that point, but they tried to bring Murphy Brown back.
I did not watch it.
But they canceled. Apparently no one did. Because they canceled it after the first season that it was on. Anyway, there you go. But I mean, I hope she's doing well. She's 74 years old, so.
I hope she is not dead.
I hope she doesn't have corona.
The corona.
All right, here's our last one.
Cut off, but this is, that was Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yes.
Is it Billy Joel? Is it Billy Joel the...
It is Billy Joel. And you know, I did not know that was a Billy Joel song, to be
really?
Honest.
Really?
I mean, really? I've played that... So I have played that song in marching band, but did not know who it was. And, you know, in doing my research, as you do for this show, figured out that Billy Joel... I mean, there was another one, but you got it, so I don't have to play the other one. But anyway, I didn't know that he sang that.
Now, I'm just... I mean, I'm desperately curious to know what a... band.
Color guide instruction by Rob Ardlin.
What a high school band playing that would sound like.
It was in college, not high school. Oh, but anyway,
this is the
field by drum majors Bethany Moses, Brennan Biddy,
you go, Bethany.
Gregory and Vinny
are they Vitale. Doing a thing?
Yeah, they're doing a thing.
No, I mean, you know,
they're marching onto this. They're marching onto the field right now, Adam. They're coming from the end zone. Is that what you call it? The end zone.
The end zone. That is a thing. The end zone.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip ahead to when they actually start playing here again. Okay.
You probably want like a drum corps or a college, not a high school.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, Daniel. That is exactly. You know, you should pick a drum corps or a college to hear something good. A high school's not going to be good. I mean, some high schools are good. But anyway, yeah, I played a lot of Billy Joel stuff, I'm sure, in college.
We Didn't Start the Fire drum corps.
Drum corps, like DCI, like one of the really good like drum corps. Oh, they're so good.
It gave me a drum cover.
I'm telling you, drum corps. Taffy Carlisle Huffington and I
yes.
Have something in common. Apparently, she was in drum corps. I was not. But apparently, we both love drum corps. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it'll make me hard. It's so good.
Wow.
You go and like sit in those stadiums and all those brass instruments pointing their bells at you and wailing. Wah! You know, and you're like...
Here's one for the UK folks. So what you're saying is you like the bellends being pointed at you.
I do, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Anyway, 71.
71.
Yeah.
Normally, Adam, Normally, I would seamlessly fade from that into our contact music.
No, you wouldn't. We have a game, another game.
No, I always remember I would go from the happy birthday into the contact music because I like that transition because it was like as Dora was fading down, you would get the, you know, the
3, 2, 1.
No, there is no contact tonight, Adam. No one has sent us an email. No one has sent us a voicemail. No one has reached out to us. Nobody has, even Big Fatty. Big Fatty will call everyone. Big Fatty calls every show all the time.
I'm just confirming here because you said voicemail and then I was like, ah, crap. No, no voicemails.
We have nothing. We have nothing.
Nope.
Well then, we'll just move on.
News game. He says a news game. It's a news game. What questions will he ask?
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the news game. For those of you who don't know how this works, Adam will read to me 11. Is it 11?
Yes.
It is 11. It's 11 questions that come from the New York Times news quiz, which comes out every Friday. I am, of course, honor and duty bound not to look at the New York Times news quiz because we are recording on Saturday, and I have not looked at it this week. So I am ready now, Adam, to hear the news story. Now, you know, the way this works, he's going to read me the question. It is multiple choice. I will try to get it without the multiple choice. If I need the multiple choice, I will ask for it, and Adam will give it to me. And if I am completely stumped, I, of course, lean on the smartest people in the universe, which is the chat room, who will help me come up with my final answer. It does not count until I say final answer. Adam, go.
All right. This week, what did Vice President Mike Pence call, quote, a reflection of the tremendous progress we've made as a country?
He was able to sit at a table with a woman that was not his wife. No, Adam, I believe he called that progress was a comment that he made when they announced that they were going to shut down the coronavirus task force, which they then walked back 24 hours later and said, oh, no, okay, we're keeping it. We're keeping it. So was it closing down the coronavirus task force?
Yes.
Excellent.
Mr. Pence, who has led the task force for 2 months, said on Tuesday that it would probably wrap up its work around the end of May as the White House shifted its focus to restarting the economy.
And, right. By the way, Someone in the chat room, Baron Frosty in the chat room, posted a picture to which you typed underneath of it incorrectly that it was a picture of Taylor Lautner. You know that is not Taylor Lautner, right?
Oh, you know what? I do know that. That's the
That is Teen Wolf.
It says right there, Scott McCall.
Oh, there you go. Scott McCall. In the link. Teen Wolf.
Taylor Lautner came up because he has a very good body and he also played a wolf. I don't know if we know that. I mean, he was a wolf in those Twilight movies. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So number two, which clothing company became the first major retailer in the U.S. to file for bankruptcy protection during the pandemic?
Now, this one is an easy one. It was Crew. Because they're like a Gap-like place. What are my choices? What are my choices?
Abercrombie and Fitch.
No.
American Eagle Outfitters.
No.
Gap.
No.
And J. Crew.
Yes, J. Crew. It's J. Crew. J. Crew.
Is that your final answer?
My final answer, J. Crew.
Yes.
Excellent.
J. Crew, the preppy with a twist clothing company, filed for bankruptcy protection on Monday. It is one of several big industry names to struggle with the toll of mass shutdowns caused by the coronavirus pandemic.
Right. What will Archer wear now?
I don't know. All right, so number three, for the first time, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments by telephone. What other precedent did the court set this week?
One of the justices was in a hospital room during that time, which was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What are my choices?
Allowed live audio coverage, heard arguments on the weekend, limited the time for opening arguments.
No, they always limit the time. That's not precedent setting.
Or provided a copy of a ruling in Spanish.
I think it's the live audio, because I remember on one of my news shows, they were talking about we would be able to hear it at the same time. Like they've released recordings of the court in the past, but never like while they happened. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go final answer, live audio coverage.
All right. Yes, that is correct.
Yay.
So amid the pandemic, they broke with history by hearing the first of 10 cases that will be argued in a telephone conference call and let the public listen in.
Sweet.
So there you go. All right.
Did you listen?
I did not.
I didn't either. I was working. So
a federal judge ordered which state to hold its Democratic primary election in June after it was canceled over concerns about the coronavirus.
I believe that would be Baron Frosty's home state of New York, Adam. Is it New York?
I thought he lived in Alaska.
No, that's Tim. Tim lives
now,
in Alaska.
No, Juno. Juno, Alaska.
It's because he lives somewhere that's very cold, and so he calls it Juno. Oh.
New York, is that your final answer?
Yes, but I'm sure it's right.
It's right. Okay. We don't need the story. All right. Number five. A new study found that animals whose antibodies have led to promising therapies for HIV and influenza might also help neutralize the coronavirus. What animal is it?
Wow. Give me the choices here.
Bats, no. Llamas, pangolins, or tigers?
I'm going to see. For some reason I was thinking alpaca, and I'm going to go with llamas. Llamas are similar to alpacas. I am uncertain on this, but I'm got Big Fatty says llama, so I'm going with llama. Adam, final answer.
Yes, that is correct.
Excellent.
All right. After a public campaign by President Trump and his allies, the Justice Department dropped its criminal case against Michael Flynn above, Mr. Trump's first national security advisor.
Yes.
Mr. Flynn had previously pleaded guilty twice. Yes.
But they couldn't prove it, even though he pleaded guilty twice. But they couldn't prove it. That's why they dropped the
to case, yeah. What crime?
He pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI twice, I might add. Is it lying to the FBI, Adam?
Why, yes, it is. Lying to the FBI.
Excellent. But they can't prove it, even though he's admitted it twice. Yeah.
All right. A former intelligence chief, Mustafa al-Kadhimi, above, was selected by Parliament as prime minister, giving which country its first real government in more than 5 months?
I have no idea. What are my choices?
Afghanistan.
Okay.
Iraq,
but okay.
Pakistan, yes. Or Syria.
All right. So there was a president of Afghanistan. So I don't think that they don't have a prime minister. And Iraq, I don't know if Iraq has a prime minister. What was his name?
Mustafa al-Kadhimi.
I think Syria. Was Syria one of the choices?
Syria was one of the choices. Yes.
Yeah, I think they have like a monarchy or something. What was the one between Iraq and Syria?
Pakistan.
We'll go there. We'll go with Pakistan.
All right. Is that your final answer?
I know they have a democracy there, but I'm not sure if they have a prime minister. But yes, it is my final answer, Adam.
That is incorrect, Daniel.
Incorrect. Oh.
Mr. al-Kadhimi on Thursday became Iraq's first real prime minister since the last one resigned in November. Yeah, in the face of persistent anti-government protests.
Archer in the chat room said Iraq and then changed his mind to Pakistan. So, yeah.
Two white men were charged in the fatal shooting of Ahmaud Arbery. I don't know if I'm saying that
mistake.
Right.
I made the mistake of someone posted the actual video on Facebook the other day and went like, this is horrifying, but it was like I felt bad not posting it and I didn't know what it was. That was so fucking disturbing. Oh, so disturbing. Anyway, what's the question?
An unarmed black man, after a video of the shooting became public this week and more than 2 months after the killing itself, in which state did the shooting occur?
That happened in Georgia. They said it in the pattern, but I knew that already. That was Georgia, my immediate state to my north here.
Yes.
And it was like some 60-year-old guy and his son that was like 35 or whatever, and the son shot him. Oh, it was so disturbing.
That is correct.
Horrible. It was horrible.
It is horrible.
And it happened in February, and they just got arrested like the other day.
Don Shula won more games than any head coach in the NFL history and helped usher pro football into the modern era. He died on Monday at age 90. He also had the league's only perfect season leading which team to an undefeated record?
It's the sports ball question. It's the obligatory sports
Fatty
ball question.
Fatty might know this one, but
which I have no. All right, so Fatty says it's the Miami Dolphins. Is that one of my choices?
It is one of your choices.
All right, the Miami Dolphins.
I didn't realize this was a collaborative effort. This game.
I said I won't take the point for it, but yes, it was the Miami Dolphins.
It is Miami Dolphins.
There we go.
All right, number 10. The Pulitzer Prizes were awarded this week.
The Pulitzer, I'm pretty sure you mean the Nobel Prizes.
It says
our president believes that they are Nobel Prizes.
It says here the Pulitzer or Pulitzer, yes. Yeah, however well, yeah, you
Pulitzer,
want to say it.
Pulitzer is awarded to writing, and he was railing against a whole bunch of people who had written articles about him, and he was like, take all their Nobel Prizes. And I'm like, you idiot, they're Pulitzer Prizes to start with, and it's Nobel, not Nobel, you ignorant asshole.
Some people say Pulitzer, some people say Pulitzer.
Yeah, yeah. Let's call
tomato,
it
tomato. Okay.
Yes.
Which news organization, in conjunction with ProPublica, won its third prize for public service, considered the most prestigious of the Pulitzers for a year-long investigation of sexual violence?
Oh, I know this because they were on the PBS NewsHour last night. There was two editors, and he was from Anchorage something. The Anchorage Daily? Anchorage. Wait, what are my choices?
The Anchorage Daily News.
Yes, the Anchorage Daily News.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
All right, yes, that is correct.
It's the Tim in Alaska newspaper.
All right, here is your final question. The author, Stephanie Meyer, announced that a new installment of her best-selling series would be released this summer. What is the name of that series?
It's Taylor Lautner, pretty sure, is the name of it. That would be the series that has Taylor Lautner and the vampires made of diamonds, Adam. That would be the Twilight series.
Twilight. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
That is correct.
Excellent.
All right, so you got 10 out of 11, really 9 out
of
11.
Yeah, I got 9 out of 11.
And it says you did better than 84% of those who took the quiz. 10%.
Hold on. No, because I missed the...
You missed one, and then you...
No, I missed the Iraq one.
Yeah.
And then I missed another one, I thought.
No.
What was, like, the fourth question?
The fourth question was... a federal judge ordered which state to hold its Democratic primary election in June.
Anyway, I thought, I'll take 9. I'll take 9. I thought I did 8. But yeah, 9. I'll take 9. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, all right. There you go.
That was the news game.
Do you ever watch the game show The Wall?
I have seen a promo for it, you know, like a teaser, a promo kind of thing, but I've never actually seen the show, no.
If you like game shows, and Fatty must have an opinion on this because Fatty watches all game shows.
Fatty likes all game shows, yes.
But Mark and I really like that game. So basically, it's very complicated to explain, so you just have to watch it. But they have this big wall, and they release these balls, and it's like a Plinko board.
Fatty's going to love it.
They go down, they go down, yes, like the balls go down, and then they land in a slot. And each of those slots is a different dollar amount. And sometimes they're red balls and you lose that amount. Anyway, you just have to watch it. But at the end, so one person is behind the wall in this airtight booth where they can't hear anything. And then their partner, whoever they're with, is on the other side.
Yes.
And at the end, they get to decide, do they want to keep the amount of money they had at the beginning of the game, or do they want to keep whatever was on the wall?
Okay.
And because at the beginning, they answer some questions and they rack up a little bit of money. But usually it's like $50,000 or something.
Just a little bit.
You
just
can
50,
win 000. Millions yeah, of dollars on the wall. And they can either tear up the contract, having no idea what's on the wall, what they've won.
Yes.
Or they can sign the contract, and if they sign it, they
get whatever the wall
is. My point is, Daniel, if I ever go on that game,
yes,
I'm tearing up the contract. They make this big deal about it, like, you know, they put the camera on the person, and they're like, well, we could do so much with all of that money that was on the wall, but it could be nothing. And then what would little Timmy do if we didn't have any money at all? But... it could be so much money and we could do so. And they go back and forth. I mean, you know, these producers are there like, come on, you got to make out more. And then not only that, but when they walk out, and they're talking to their partner, and their partner knows how much is left on the wall, right?
Right. Yes.
They each go, honey, I love you no matter what you decided. And they string this out for like, I'm like, Mark, if we are on that show, I'm tearing up the dadgum contract. We don't even have to have that long thing.
I mean, you came into the show with nothing.
Right.
Like, there's nothing on the wall that's going to make you pay money, right? So it's like, either way, it's not, it's like my loss on my cruise stock, right? That's not actually a loss until you sell the stock, right? So it's like, you haven't actually like lost $50,000 if you won $50,000 early. You haven't lost it until you take it. So, other than that, it's just hypothetical. It's like Schrodinger's money.
What do you think
it exists and it doesn't exist? What?
What do you think you would do?
Oh, I would always tell, no, I'm one of those people. I will, when I go and gamble, I have a budget. It's like, okay, well, I will gamble $300 tonight. And if I win more than $300 during the course of the night, I will take my original $300 and I'll put it back in my pocket. But then I will recklessly gamble with the rest of the money because it's not real money. It's like, well, I'm getting free drinks. I'm getting free entertainment.
Yeah, you like to get drunk while you're...
It's cost me nothing to be here. And yeah. I have all the money that I started with is back in my pocket, safe and sound. So I don't care. Granted, if I won $10,000, I may put some aside, but I would keep playing with it because, you know, it's not real money. It's fake money. That's just the way that I think about it, Adam.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert, on the last episode, if anybody's watching it, you need to turn off your audio right now. They had $800,000 on the wall.
Wow.
They had $80,000 guaranteed. The motherfucker signed the contract. They lost $720,000.
Did you not hear what I just said? They didn't lose anything. They went in without $80,000. They came out with $80,000.
But they could have had $800,000.
No, it doesn't matter. That's all hypothetical. It's just like, yeah, you could have had that. You could have not. But they took that. They still ended up with $80,000.
I'm telling you, tearing it up. When I go on that show, I'm tearing up the contract.
Yes, I agree with you, Adam. It's the same way. It's like the double Jeopardy on the Jeopardy, where they're just like, I'm gonna wager $200. Like, no, you wager everything you have. You wager the maximum. Live. You're not gonna beat that guy unless you do it. I have no idea how to do this, Adam, because I've been sitting here for the last like 3 minutes trying to figure out how a conversation would have this line in it in any kind of a normal way.
You're breaking the fourth wall, Daniel. You're breaking the fourth wall here.
I don't know what it is, Adam. I don't know how you would have a line like that. Let me take a stab at it here.
Yes.
See, I mean, what you guys don't know, him yelling at me about the fourth wall and him being all impatient with me, like trying to come up with everything, is like, Adam is like a boomer, right? He's just like, he's an old man. He's an old, old cranky man.
I do like a procedural.
and right now, there's nothing more that he wants to do than to get up and go into the other room and take a dump, because Adam is a boomer on the turlet. Doobies and Tin is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. I don't know what it is, but something like that.
479-221-9393.
Yeah, that. Or, you know, record yourself on your cellular telephonic device, whatever, and just send us an email. It is contact@dubiousintent.com.
I'm giving you no points for that one.
Yeah, that was...
No
that
points.
Was, the, that was... No. I shouldn't have even allowed that title last week.
I worked it in last week. No problem.
You did. I don't think it was exactly natural last week either.
I felt like it was.
You felt like it was? You really? You felt like that was your best work?
I didn't go that far, but I felt like it was pretty natural.
Hey, I'll be back here next Saturday, 10 p.m. You going to be here?
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
Sure. All right. Well, then great. Then I guess I'll catch up with you then, and we will not talk to each other at all until then. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.